Chapter 7, A Waltz. A month had passed since Chrysalis's judgment. Slowly but surely she was adjusting to the life of an average pony. Chrysalis's life was becoming more routine. After her first encounter with Mortar Brick, she was able to land a job at the bakery where they had met. It was extremely easy for her. The bakery needed an extra worker, and Chrysalis could easily act her way into any job. Taking the suggestion from Mortar Brick, she easily played with her customers. If they were a young male, she would bat her eyelashes and flick her tail under their chin, and they would instantly fall for her, at which point she could make them do whatever she wanted. Her words were filled with honey, and the colts in return could only give her their money. Young males were not her only targets, every pony was. Regardless of age, gender, or relationship status, she could make them like her. After her employment, the bakery experienced a significant increase in profits. However, just because she was very good at her job did not mean she enjoyed it. While she did like knowing that she could easily control ponies, she still hated serving them. It left a taste of bile in her mouth. In fact, it might have driven her insane if it were not for Mortar Brick. Every day after work, Chrysalis would eat dinner with Mortar at the bakery. There she would vent all of her problems dealing with customers, and he would nod and agree with everything she said. Luckily for both of them, Mortar had numerous jobs around the bakery, as that street had been hit particularly badly during the changeling attack. He could always make it to dinner with Silver Skip. "And then she thought I messed up the order. Can you believe it? I do not make mistakes. She ordered a salad with no cheese, so when I gave her exactly that, she looked me straight in the face and told me she ordered it with cheese. So insufferable. How dare she make false claims against me?" Chrysalis said sternly, waving a hoof for emphasis. "Oh, how awful of her," Mortar said dramatically. "How dare she question your intellect?" "I know," Chrysalis said before taking a bite of her food. In the month that Mortar had known Chrysalis, he had learned that the best way to pacify her was to stroke her ego. She would instantly calm down and relax when talking to Mortar. "Sweet Celestia," Mortar thought as he rested his head against his hoof. "Watching Chrysalis vent and eat, she is cute when she is angry. It is as if she demands that the world bow to her." Mortar continued to stare at Chrysalis, watching bangs of her mane fall on her face as she ranted on. "Oh, Luna, I think I'm falling for her." At that same moment, Princess Celestia was lying on her bed, a mirror levitating in front of her with magic. The mirror in front of Celestia did not show her reflection, but instead showed Chrysalis and Mortar eating dinner together. "Oh my, she is making a friend, and it has only been a month," Celestia said quietly to herself as she watched the two. She did feel guilty about watching them, but after she had been told that Chrysalis was associating with some pony, she could not resist. Celestia was elated that Chrysalis had possibly made a friend. She hoped that Chrysalis could now understand the importance of relationships and friendship. "Why, hello, sister," Luna called out from behind her. Celestia jumped a little bit, quickly hiding the mirror under a mound of pillows as she turned around to face Luna on her balcony. "Luna," Celestia replied with surprise in her voice. "What are you doing here?" "Now, sister, I do recall you telling me that I am welcome in your room. Have you forgotten that already?" Luna asked as she feigned being hurt, holding one hoof to her chest and another to her forehead. Celestia smiled. "Of course not, sister. I am just wondering why you would use the balcony instead of the door." "'Tis simple," Luna said as she jumped next to Celestia, lying next to her on the bed. It is quicker to fly to your balcony than it is to walk to your room."
"I see," Celestia replied as she put her forehoofs over the mound of pillows in front of her, subtly bringing it closer to her chest.
Luna raised an eyebrow as she noticed Celestia's slight movements.
"So, sister..."
"Yes," Celestia said, smiling at her. "What are you hiding beneath those pillows there?"
Luna asked, a mischievous grin on her face. Celestia, as regal as ever, kept her composure.
"Whatever are you talking about, Luna?"
Luna gave Celestia a serious look. With a flash of her horn, she reached under the stack of pillows in front of Celestia and yanked out the mirror.
"And what, pray tell, is this?"
Celestia sighed in defeat.
"You caught me."
Luna flared open her wings as she examined the mirror.
"Is that Chrysalis? Sister, I know she tried to invade Canterlot, but don't you think this is a tad invasive? We have her under constant watch by the guard. This seems a bit excessive."
Celestia could only give an innocent look.
"I know, Luna, but when I heard that she had made a friend, I simply could not resist. It has only been a month. I mean, just look at them. And I can tell she is not acting in front of him. She is being herself. I could not help myself. I just had to see it with my own eyes. To think Chrysalis would slowly open herself up,"
Celestia replied. Luna smiled as she moved closer to Celestia, holding the mirror up in front of both of them.
"It is surprising indeed. She is fitting in very well. Just who is that pony she is talking to?"
"Well, according to the records, his name is Mortar Brick. He is one of the few stonemasons in Canterlot, and is currently employed by us to help fix the damage,"
Celestia replied. Luna peered closer at the mirror, a smile slowly appearing on her face.
"My, my, she is making more than a friend, sister. That poor colt is smitten with her."
Celestia's eyes widened.
"Really? How can you tell?"
"Just look at his body posture and the way he looks at her. Those daydreaming eyes, the relaxed body posture, and that helpless grin on his face. That is a pony stricken with love. I would know. I am the mistress of the night, the time of lovers,"
Luna said, striking a dramatic poise.
"Something I wish I had known 1,000 years ago, she finished softly, her wings deflating as she brought her hoof down.
Tears began to form in her eyes.
"Oh, Luna,"
Celestia softly said, hugging her sister.
I am sorry, sister. If I only knew back then the things I know now. I am so sorry,"
Luna quietly whispered, turning her head away from Celestia. Celestia pulled Luna closer and embraced her.
"Luna, I already forgave you 1,000 years ago. That is in the past now. You know that I will always love you, no matter what."
Luna sniffed, leaning her head against Celestia.
"It is not just that. Again, I have failed you. I wanted to execute her, sister. How could I ever want something so terrible?" "Oh, Luna, I know you have a good heart, and I know you never wanted it. You just let your emotions get the better of you. We all make mistakes, Luna. You must stop being so hard on yourself,"
Celestia quietly said, nuzzling her.
"Then I have not learned a thing. If I let my emotions control me back then, and if I let them control me now, then have I learned anything?"
Luna replied, looking up at Celestia.
"Luna, we all make mistakes. I know you have learned your lessons from the past. That does not mean we are immune to making mistakes. Even I let my emotions get the better of me on multiple occasions. Remember during Shining Armor and Cadence's wedding, when I blatantly ignored my students' warnings? The look on Twilight's face still hurts me now. I failed, Twilight. Luna, what you must do is move forward. Now hush.
I do not wish to see you sad like this. You need not worry, Luna. I will always love you," Celestia said, hugging Luna more tightly. Luna relaxed.
"Thank you, sister," she replied. "You know, maybe we should help them."
"All right," Morta thought, sitting down across from Chrysalis for their daily meet-up. "You can do this. Do not look weak. She does not like weak ponies." Chrysalis, however, was resting her head on a forehoof and tapping the table with the other. She gave Morta a hard look as he sat down.
"You are late. I do not like waiting," she said sternly.
"I know, I know. Don't get your tail in a knot," Morta replied. Chrysalis, in return, just glared harder at him. "Now don't look at me like that. Besides, the reason I am late is that I managed to get something you may like," Morta said.
"And what would that be?"
Chrysalis asked, raising an eyebrow at him. "Well, one of my clients ended up being the manager of Cantaloupe's wine cellar, and he actually offered me a reservation," Morta answered with a large grin on his face.
"And what is that?"
Chrysalis replied with a confused look. Morta stared at her in shock. "You mean you really don't know? It is the most famous restaurant in Equestria. Reservations are nearly impossible to get without some royal connection. They say its food and wine are legendary," Morta exclaimed. Chrysalis, however, did not look too impressed.
"If it is so selective, then why would you get a reservation? It seems they would not allow commoners like yourself."
"They don't. But it was really strange. I was just hired there to do a very small patch job. When I was finished, the manager offered me a reservation. He told me that it was a special gift for my hard work. Honestly, I have no idea how I got it. But that does not matter. The point is, we got a reservation," Morta said eagerly.
"We?"
Chrysalis asked, giving Morta a suspicious look. Morta looked around nervously before sitting up straight and puffing out his chest. "Well, it would be a shame for me to go alone. I was wondering if you would like to come along," Morta answered, trying to sound confident.
"I do not need your pity,"
Chrysalis quickly remarked, turning her head away. Right on cue, Morta thought. "It's not pity, Silver. I have an extra spot open, and I was wondering if you would like to come. I mean, you have been serving ponies for a while now. I think it is only right that you be served by other ponies." Chrysalis scrunched up her face in thought. "He is right. I do deserve to be treated. However..."
"Are you asking me out on a date?"
Chrysalis asked suspiciously. Morta's eyes widened for a second before he collected himself. "As friends," he replied quickly.
"Fine," Chrysalis replied, "if you are paying."
"Of course, it's what a gentle coat should do," Morta said. Chrysalis looked around as they walked through the restaurant, noticing the stares that both Morta and her were getting. A soft background music from the restaurant's band filled the air.
"Why are they looking at us?" Chrysalis whispered to Morta.
Probably because we are not wearing clothes. I don't think they are used to seeing ponies like us. Pay no heed to them," Morta replied. As they were seated, Chrysalis looked around at the room, surprised by the exuberance of the place.
"This looks a lot like the inside of the palace," Chrysalis remarked.
"You know what the inside of the palace looks like?" Morta asked, surprised.
"I have seen pictures,"
she quickly replied, continuing to survey the surroundings. Morta shrugged as a waiter came to their table.
"Welcome, Monsieur et Madame," the waiter said in a thick accent. "Would you two care for some vintage Pinot Noir?"
Morta blushed and looked nervously at Chrysalis. He knew he had to pay for both their dinners, but expensive wine was way out of his budget. He was trying to impress her, but he had to admit defeat. His shoulders slumped, and he sighed to himself.
"Sorry, but I do not have enough bits."
"Not a problem, monsieur. The wine is on the house," the waiter replied. Mortar's ears perked, looking up at the waiter in disbelief.
"Wait, what? Why?"
"The management told us to give it to you," the waiter answered.
"Well, if that is the case, then yes, we will take it," Mortar eagerly replied.
The waiter gave a slight bow as he trotted off. Chrysalis gave Mortar a puzzled look, who just smiled sheepishly and said,
"Lucky break, I guess."
After a moment of awkward silence, the waiter came back carrying a bottle of wine and two glasses. After diligently pouring two glasses out, he levitated the glasses out to Mortar and Chrysalis. Chrysalis, in return, only stared at the glass in front of her, watching the red liquid swirl. In all of her life, she had never tried a drop of alcohol. She never had access to it as a changeling, and when she was in disguise, she dared not try it. She had heard stories of alcohol's intoxicating effects, and how it makes one lose their concentration. Chrysalis had been afraid that if she tried it while she was in disguise, her cover would be blown. However, she wore no disguise this time. She looked at the wine with furrowed brows, debating whether she should try it. Chrysalis looked up to see Mortar nudging the glass in her direction, encouragingly. She slowly picked the glass up and placed it under her nose, smelling the wine. Her eyes widened and her ears perked. "It smells wonderful," she thought. Placing the glass on her lips, she gave it a small sip. As she tasted the wine, she let out a small moan. Not even her first glorious sandwich could compare to the taste of her beverage. She looked up to see Mortar grinning at her. She quickly turned her head away while slightly blushing.
"What?" Chrysalis said flatly.
"You seem to be enjoying yourself," said Mortar with a hint of a question in his voice. Chrysalis, in return, just gave a simple "humph" and returned to her drink. After a couple of glasses of wine and a belly full of food, Chrysalis was feeling very relaxed. She started to feel the alcohol's effects, and they were not unpleasant. Her face was flushed, and she felt a nice buzz. Never in her life had she been this relaxed and content. The food was great, the wine was better, and she could hear beautiful music playing in the background. She wanted time to stop at that moment. Chrysalis's ears perked up as she heard the music change. Opening an eye, she glanced at Mortar, who was also enjoying himself. Resting her back, she closed her eyes and let the music soothe her.
"Silver," Mortar said hesitantly.
"Yes," Chrysalis replied, opening her eyes. Taking a deep breath, Mortar puffed out his chest and trying to look as confident as ever.
"Would you care for a dance?" he asked.
Chrysalis looked at him for a moment, a blank expression on her face. Truth be told, she loved dancing. For her, dancing was another way to control a pony. Instead of using disguises or manipulation, she could physically control the actions of another being. When she danced, she was the one who led. She could control her partner's movements and actions. For her, it brought a great sense of power and pleasure, knowing that she could control someone both mentally and physically.
"I accept your offer," Chrysalis calmly replied, as she got on her hooves, making her way to the dance floor.
Mortar stood on his hind legs, holding out a hoof towards Chrysalis. The two ponies leaned on each other, their bodies touching. Time stood still for them both, as they gazed into each other's eyes. The music started, a beautiful waltz filling the room. Chrysalis gave a small gasp, as not she, but Mortar took the lead. They moved smoothly across the dance floor, Mortar controlling the pace and Chrysalis's actions. She had never let anyone dictate her life, but here, a measly common earth pony was controlling her. Chrysalis was stunned, not knowing what to do, as she followed Morta's lead.
How dare he lead?
Chrysalis thought, stunned by the whole ordeal.
It should be me that leads.
Still, she continued as she leaned on Morta, it is not that bad. They continued on, each step in time with the music. Chrysalis looked at Morta's face, which was scrunched up in deep concentration, and looking at the ground. As they continued, the music sped up, and Morta was having an increasingly difficult time keeping up. Then it dawned on her. Morta was trying to impress her. Not some disguise or facade, but her. This whole ordeal, the dinner and the dance, was an attempt to impress her. For the first time, someone was willing to be with her. Chrysalis did not know what to think. Everything was happening at such a fast pace. Her life had changed. Her crown had been stripped, her powers had been removed, and her army was gone. She knew she had to be angry, but she could not. This is nice, she finally thought. For once, in that moment of time, there was no burden on her back. She could enjoy herself. In that moment, everything felt right, though she had no idea why she felt that way. Chrysalis could not put a hoof on why she felt content at that moment. Was it the delicious food, the wonderful wine, or the lovely music? She cared not what the reason was, and just enjoyed it. However, she knew Morta was struggling with the faster tempo. Taking the initiative, she began to lead, much to Morta's relief. Together they danced as one, and it was wonderful to behold. After their dinner and dance, Morta decided to walk Chrysalis home. As they made their way up to Chrysalis's apartment, Morta turned around and looked at Chrysalis.
Silver, he said, thanks for tonight. It was wonderful.
It was nice,
Chrysalis replied.
Well, I wish we could do more, but sadly I have to work early in the morning. Also, I should let you get your rest. Same time tomorrow, I assume?
Morta asked.
Of course, she replied, with a light smile on her face.
With that, they gave each other a small nod. Morta walked away, and Chrysalis entered her apartment. Chrysalis opened the door to her home and nearly skipped inside. As she made her way in, the music of the waltz that was playing still lingered on her mind, and she hummed its tune. As she had made a habit of doing since she had been punished, she gazed at herself in the mirror. By that time, she had become accustomed to seeing her tan coat and silvery mane. Yet, when she looked upon her face, she saw something that was truly amiss. The night's events had stretched her mouth into a grin. It was not huge, but it was a grin nevertheless. The unfamiliarity of the smile surprised her. It was so strange, she thought, that even though she should be used to seeing herself in this form, the very sight of herself smiling seemed alien. For a moment she could not understand why this was, and pondered over the thought. Yet then an answer came to her, rising swiftly from a dark region of her mind. Maybe, just maybe, she had allowed herself to become content. This realization, which would have seemed very foul to her before, caused something within her mind to snap. At first, when she continued to stare into the mirror, she thought that her vision was going bad because her reflection was becoming darker. Her tan fur was becoming black and her silver mane was darkening to a blue. It was then that she saw her vision itself was not faulty. The figure in front of her was not merely changing color, but its very shape and size were morphing.
At first, she thought it was the wine that was making her hallucinate, but when the image solidified and took form, she knew it not to be so. She was no longer looking at Silver Skip. The form in front of her now had mangled but long legs that gave her a terrible height. Her coat was the blackest shade of gray, and her mane a dark cerulean. The Earth Pony's plain body had been adorned with a twisted horn and a pair of diaphanous wings, and on her head she wore the pronged crown of the Changeling Queen. The chrysalis in the mirror looked down at Silver Skip in the real world and opened her mouth to speak, revealing four ivory fangs.
"So, you've been having fun, haven't you?" the changeling asked with a regal voice.
"I guess I have," Silver Skip replied, undaunted. The queen raised an eye.
"And yet you've come no closer to taking revenge?"
"I've been working on it, even though it's been slow."
"Slow?" Chrysalis shouted. "You've done nothing but waste time since the day you were thrown into the streets of this damned city."
"Well, it's not like this has been a cakewalk, in case you haven't noticed. Celestia's gods have been watching my every move."
"And it would be even less easy if you aren't even trying. The only thing you have actually tried to do as of yet is flirt with that thing who calls you a friend rather than a mortal enemy of this country."
The image in the mirror returned swiftly. The pony stomped her right hoof.
"You know what? So what if I've been enjoying myself a little? I need a break. If you remember, starving is not the most pleasant feeling we have experienced. Being forcibly turned into something else is not as easy as it sounds."
Chrysalis paused for a moment, as though she was shocked to hear that response. Then suddenly her eyes burned with fury.
"Your idea of a break is to swoon over that thing?" she whispered poisonously. "Have you forgotten that he is food to you?"
Silver didn't want to admit, even to herself, that she had enjoyed Mortar's company. Avoiding Chrysalis's stare, she quickly made an excuse.
"Look, this way I can kill two birds with one stone. First, my being around him fights off loneliness. Fighting against Celestia or not, I still have needs. Second, because I'm halfway enjoying myself, I'm getting revenge on Celestia in a way because I'm leeching off one of her subjects."
Again the image's voice yelled,
"Is that your excuse for displaying an infatuation with this thing?"
The real her raised her voice as well.
"Do not dare to suggest such a thing. I am not infatuated with him."
Chrysalis ignored her.
"Do you know what differentiates the changeling between the common mute animal? The changeling can stave off her base desire. Are you an animal who can't control her urges?"
Until this time, Silver had maintained a degree of restraint, but this suggestion riled her.
"Of course not. I mean that I can't go on like this forever." "You fool! You are playing into the adversary's hooves. Did she not say that her very intention for not executing you was to force you to make a friend? Is it not enough that you have been appallingly humiliated? Need I remind you that your crown was ripped from your head and your army and subjects vanquished? The enemy would not even honor you with a beautiful death. Rather than being released from this struggle, you have been imprisoned in a foreign land to live among aliens. Yet, most horrifically, your beautiful form has been stripped from you. Not only do you look like fodder, but worse, the weakest form was forced upon you. Would you stoop even lower than this?" These words were making Silver Skip angrier by the second. For a while she had overlooked those things, but now they were coming back to her, the cold, hard chains of hatred and wrath enveloping her heart. Chrysalis continued, "It is bad enough that these evils were forced on you, but now you want to bend to the will of this wise and just arbiter.
This is exactly what she wants. You've been here for only a month, and you're already giving in? The pony responded with gritted teeth. I am not giving in. And yet you are acting like it. Other than your inconsequential whining, you are acting just like one of these ponies that serves your enemy. How soon will it be before you become one yourself? You were once a mighty and powerful queen. Your very command caused an army to descend upon this city, and your power, charged with the energy you had claimed, struck down its ruler. Yet how long will it be before you call her princess, as all these others do? How long will it be before you forget this fight altogether and become like the rabble? The words flowing from the mouth of the image in the mirror engulfed the Earth Pony like a river of hatred, washing away any joy she once had, and leaving behind only seething wrath. I will never give up. The Black Queen's voice rose to a shout. Like them, you will focus on this pony you call friend, and on your pitiful, willing servitude. Before long, you will grow content with giving half of what you own to the enemy herself, in what they call taxes, and half of your time to this one who will win you over with sweet words. The one who was once the queen of the changelings will become a slave and a play toy of Equestria. You will live in this city, bound to your desires and obedient to your adversary's will. And worst of all, to your so-called acquaintance. You will live like that until there is no vitality or individuality left in you. Then you will grow old and even more hideous than you are now, and the few short years of your life will be gone. You may have been born as a queen, but unless you stand up and fight against Celestia now, with the little strength you have left, you will live and die as a slave. Once the proud predator, now reduced to nothing but something to be preyed upon, is that what you desire? Hearing these words, the real Chrysalis's anger gave way to full-blown rage, and she shouted, Celestia, I will never kneel to you. I will escape this prison. I will rebuild my army and burn your precious land to the ground. With a primal shout, she turned around and bucked the cabinet next to her. Screaming, she began to wreck the apartment that she had once maintained. The image of Chrysalis remained in the mirror, grinning wickedly. Eyes filled with bloodlust.